Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record program number 498, titled Update on September 11th, The Seco Connection. This has been recorded on February 6th of 2005. Now, in this second half of the program, we're going to be focusing exclusively on Seco. Seco is the Saudi investment company. It is the European holding company for the various businesses, particularly European-based businesses, of the very powerful and wealthy Saudi bin Laden family. As we're going to see, the Seco firm has many offshore branches in tax havens. We're going to review some of the involvement of people involved with Seco in some of the covert operations of the 1980s, specifically some of the drug smuggling Iran-Contra connected operations, such as the Shikarchi AG case. And indeed, the more one studies September 11th, if one does so in an objective fashion, the more one begins to move in the direction of Seco. Because indeed, I think Seco is something of a pivot point. I think it is something of a connecting nexus, to coin a term. It is one of the things that links some of the many different aspects of September 11th with one another. As we looked at in the conclusion of Side 1, it was Seco's aviation subsidiary, Avcon, that was sending pilots for training to little old Huffman Aviation in Naples, Florida, or Venice, Florida. Huffman Aviation was one of the two flight schools that some of the September 11th hijackers used as a cover. As we looked at in our discussions with Daniel Hopsicker about his landmark text, Welcome to Terrorland, Mohammed Atta and the 9/11 Cover-Up in Florida, the Huffman Aviation and the related school run by Arnie Krutoff, the two Dutch boys, was deeply involved with, obviously, covert operations, organized crime, drug smuggling covert operations of the Iran-Contra affair and related activities went through that area. Many of the people involved with the milieu of Rudy Deckers and Arnie Krutoff were involved with some of the Iran-Contra drug smuggling related activities. And again, it was Seco that was sending pilots for training to, of all places, little old Huffman Aviation in Florida. As we looked at in our many discussions with Daniel Hopsicker and in other programs, it was in Florida that Mohammed Atta was associated not only with Huffman Aviation, but the milieu that he was involved with down there, the group that he was involved with, the social environment and professional environment was German to a large extent. And indeed, a number of Mohammed Atta's associates in Florida were the sons and daughters of prominent German industrialists. That alone should indicate to us that there's a lot more going on here than just Islamic fundamentalism. There certainly is Islamic fundamentalism going on, but when one begins to examine Seco, a number of the different aspects of September 11th begin to dovetail with one another. It is through Seco that some of the Iran-Contra drug smuggling related covert operations begin to come together with some of the old Nazi and neo-Nazi connections, some of the links running in the direction of the Muslim Brotherhood, and we're going to take a look at some of those right now. In RFA program number 38, we took a look at, among other things, the Shikarchi AG case. That was an Iran-Contra drug smuggling-connected case involving the running of heroin, among other things, through Europe and into the United States. Among the names that cropped up in connection with that were Manzer El-Kassar, a fellow who was identified in Europe as Avni Yasser Musululu, which the European press revealed to be an alias for Eral Çelik, one of the Turkish fascist Grey Wolves involved with Mehmet Ali Aja in the shooting of the Pope. And indeed, the Grey Wolves, the youth branch of the National Action Party, have a number of interesting connections running back to the World War II period. They were involved in a number of interesting activities, and again, one of their number shot the Pope in May of 1981. The Shikarchi AG case was a very interesting one as well. It sullied the reputation and, to a certain extent, was involved with the resignation of a woman named Magdalena Kopp. Magdalena Kopp was the Swiss Minister of Justice, basically the equivalent of our Attorney General. One of her successors was Carla Del Ponte. She, in turn, is a law partner with Pier Felici Barchi, a Swiss-based attorney who is also deeply involved with the Banco del Gottardo and an Al-Taqwa-related milieu that, once again, goes back to Al-Qaeda. Pier Felici Barchi is the attorney for former Third Reich intelligence agent and Bank Al-Taqwa head Youssef Nada. And again, when one begins examining the milieu of Al-Qaeda and the various evidentiary tributaries branching off in various directions, one very, very quickly comes across the obvious realization that there's a whole lot more going on here than just Islamic fundamentalism. Pier Felici Barchi was, among other things, the attorney handling the Swiss investments of a one-time obscure Italian construction magnate named Silvio Berlusconi. Berlusconi was a member of the fascist P2 Lodge in Italy. Now, of course, he is Prime Minister of Italy and heads up a coalition that involves the Alleanza Nazionale, the National Alliance, the successor to Mussolini's fascist party. And there are a number of other links running in the direction of Italian fascism as well. But again, Mohammed Shekarchi, for whom Shekarchi AG is named, is a member of the board of directors of SECO, the Saudi investment company whose aviation subsidiary trains pilots down at little old Huffman Aviation. That's the school that Mohammed Atta and company were using as a cover and through which they used to infiltrate the United States. What we're going to take a look at now is some of the SECO offshore operations, because indeed one of the most prominent people in SECO, a member of the board of directors of SECO, a one-time co-chairman of the board of directors of SECO, is a Swiss-based attorney named Baudin Dunant. That's a name familiar to longtime listeners. Baudin Dunant is not only a member of the board of directors of SECO, but he helped to set up a number of offshore companies, some of which were implicated in some of the Iran-Contra and covert operations-related drug smuggling of the 1980s. Baudin Dunant, as we will review later in the program, was also a close friend of, protege of, and attorney for François Genoux, one of the most prominent Third Reich intelligence operatives before, during, and after the war, a man who helped in the post-war diaspora of SS war criminals, a man who helped in the post-war distribution of Nazi monies, thereby inevitably linking him with the post-war Nazi Flight Capital Organization. And Baudin Dunant, again, was an attorney for François Genoux, one of the most important Third Reich operatives, a name not very well known but pivotal. And it appears that Youssef Nada and Ahmed Huber were functioning as cutouts for François Genoux when they set up the Bank Al-Taqwa. Youssef Nada himself, a Third Reich intelligence veteran. And we should note that all of the monies that Al-Qaeda had that were still traceable after September 11th were in the Bank Al-Taqwa. That Bank Al-Taqwa has very strong, a number of evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of the SAR network that got busted on March 20th as part of the Operation Green Quest raids. We looked at that in Side 1. That was the group that got popped as a result of the efforts of Rita Katz and John Loftus. Shortly after that, instead of investigating the targets, the FBI and CIA began investigating the investigators. Who knows what role Michael Chertoff, heading up Operation Green Quest, had in that. Now, about SECO, its offshore subsidiaries, its apparently ongoing relationship with Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda, and its connections to some of the covert operations of the 1980s, we're going to read a section of a remarkable book called Dollars for Terror, authored by Richard LaBeviere. This book was published by Algora in softcover in the United States, copyright 2000. It came out in 1999 in French. And this book is one of the best books written about September 11th, and it was written well before September 11th, but nobody can understand September. Nobody who's serious about researching September 11th can do so effectively without having read this pivotal book. Not that it's a book without flaw, but it is vitally important, and it to a remarkable extent anticipates the aspects of September 11th, the various things that need to be investigated, and it did so well before September 11th. Of SECO, François Genoux associate Baudin Dunant and SECO's many offshore subsidiaries that were used for various clandestine activities, we read as follows in Dollars for Terror. Very little information is publicly available on the activities of the Bin Laden Organization, except for a luxurious brochure that gives a general presentation of its various services. The group does not publish an annual report. A Lebanese banker, very anxious to preserve his anonymity, indicated to us that the group has a large subsidiary company, Saudi Investment Company, or SICO, whose head office is in Geneva, but which has branches in other European countries, the United States, the Arab countries, and in several tax havens, including the Bahamas. Created in May of 1980 in Switzerland, SICO, whose stated activities are, quote, wealth management and investment services, unquote, is directed by Islam bin Laden, brother of Bakir bin Laden, the patriarch of the family. Its board of directors includes, in particular, a Swiss business lawyer, Baudin Dunon, Esquire, who also worked for the big Lebanese group William Kazan. A memo from a European intelligence agency specifies that since 1984, this lawyer has created for SICO numerous offshore companies in tax havens. Frank Warren also sits on the board. He is president of an American sporting goods company and a shipping company, Proteus, along with a Swede, Kjell Carlson, and two Swiss, Bruno Weiss and Beatrice Dufour, ex-sister-in-law of Islam bin Laden, who divorced Carmen Dufour in May 1997. Two other branches of the bin Laden empire developed as holding companies. The first, Falcon Limited, is based in the Cayman Islands, and the second, also baptized SICO, is registered in Curaçao. Falcon Limited controls SICO London, which was founded in 1984 and is directed by Beatrice Dufour, and SICO Great Britain, created in 1985 under the direction of Baudin Dunon, Esquire. SICO Curaçao, whose director is Islam bin Laden, is a player on the real estate market worldwide. The board also comprises Saleh bin Laden, Beatrice Dufour, and an American real estate developer, Charles Tickle. The bin Laden Empire invested in a private airline that offered services between Great Britain, Switzerland, and Saudi Arabia. It employed 175 pilots and had about 50 pieces of equipment between 1995 and 1997. At that time, its two principal shareholders were a Swiss businessman and Islam bin Laden, the president of SICO. Recall it's that aviation subsidiary that was training its pilots at the Rudy Decker's flight school down in Naples, Florida, or at Venice, Florida. Continuing, while there's nothing criminal in such an organizational chart in itself, this is still an exemplary outline of the complexity of the ensemble of shell companies that can be used to disguise what the experts call the, quote, legal financing, unquote, of terrorism, a sort of reverse laundering that takes full advantage of all the banking industry's secrecy. Here, clean money becomes criminal as it flows through legal companies and investments, unquote, leaving no hint to suggest that it might later be diverted. It's hard, then, to identify the chinks whereby this money might nevertheless leak out to become criminal. For example, the Thai intelligence agency affirms that bin Laden's brother-in-law, Mohammed Jamal Khalife, regional manager of the International Islamic Relief Organization, is used as a screen for the financing of several Philippine Islamist organizations. Activists from these groups show up in the training camps in Pakistan and in Afghanistan, and at the Islamic International University of Islamabad, which is known to be used as a cover for students eager to acquire a paramilitary education. The zones of porosity are hard to identify precisely. Without leaving a paper trail, the funds are transferred directly into liquidities, and the actors are seldom caught with their hands in the bag. That's the trouble with money, explains George Cardouche, the president of the Association of Arab Bankers in London, again quoting, if an honorable company decides to invest in another company, which gives funds to such humanitarian organizations or charitable association which itself may transfer the funds to extremist groups, there's nothing you can do about it. Money is like water. It seeks level ground, therefore it runs wherever it can, unquote. The same viewpoint can be heard in the Geneva Business District, where the Bin Laden Organization enjoys a solid banking reputation, just like SICO, an honorable and above-board organization installed in a patrician house in the center of the city of Calvin. While he does not spend most of his time among the financiers and business lawyers of Geneva, its boss, Islam bin Laden, fuels conversations not only because he continues to maintain contact with his famous brother, but especially because of the war that raged at the top of the bin Laden empire. Quote, in concert with Osama, relates a businessman who hails from one of the Gulf states, Yaslam bin Laden is suspected by his own family of instigating the death of his elder brother, Salem Mohammed bin Laden. The latter perished in a mysterious explosion of his private jet during takeoff at the airport of Riyadh in 1988. The cause of the explosion was never explained, and the Saudi police force abruptly marked the case as classified. In Riyadh, it is considered that this attack made it possible for Yaslam to be propelled to the head of SECO at the very moment when it was building offshore companies specialized in the traffic of weapons bound for Afghanistan, unquote. Other sources confirm this account and the frequent meetings between Osama and several of his brothers in Khartoum and Yemen starting in 1990. It is indeed by tracking the parallel traffic in arms and drugs that one inevitably finds traces of the banker of the jihad, unquote. That is a reference here in the context of this book to Osama bin Laden. So note again the role of SECO and its offshore subsidiaries set up by Baudin Dunant, about whom we'll have more to say in a couple of minutes, and the involvement of those subsidiaries in, among other things, some of the drug smuggling-related covert operations of the 1990s, the financing of the Afghan Mujahideen, the arming of Saddam Hussein, and the arming of the Contras, all overlap to a considerable extent. Institutions like BCCI are a common element. And again, recall that in our discussions with Daniel Hopsicker about Mohammed Atta's milieu in Florida, a couple of the elements that loom large are, one, the fact that he was hanging out with Germans in Florida, and also the many evidentiary tributaries running from the Atta milieu and the Rudy Decker's flight training milieu into the direction of some of the Iran-Contra-related drug smuggling. So again, SECO, I believe, is one of the pivot points that enables us to begin connecting the world of covert operations of the 80s and 90s, the Iran-Contra-related drug smuggling activities, the training of pilots at Tiny Huffman Aviation with Rudy Decker's German milieu that was basically shepherding Mohammed Atta. And in turn, when we begin looking at SECO, we find Shikarki AG. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And we begin getting to people like Baudin Dunant, friend of, attorney for, and protege of François Janoux, one of the most important Third Reich operatives. And when we begin looking at Bank Al-Taqwa, we go once again to veterans of the Third Reich, and we begin seeing links running in the direction of Italian fascism and so-called neo-Nazis, unquote, as well as, of course, to the Muslim Brotherhood and Islamic fundamentalists. We're going to explore the world of SECO still further here. We're going to be turning to an essay we've used in the past. This is called Report on Islamists, the Far Right, and Al-Taqwa. It was authored by Kevin Coogan, the author of the pivotally important book Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yaki and the Post-War Fascist International. Now, this paper draws largely on a book which, sadly, as far as I know, has not been translated into English. That book is called Schmutzige Geschäfte und Heiliger Krieg, translates Dirty Business and Holy War, that was co-authored by Hermania and Johannes von Donani. It is about the link between the Al-Qaeda milieu and the jihadist milieu, and some of the so-called dirty business that we're going to be looking at right now. Now, this section of this paper by Kevin Coogan, and by the way, this is available online. Again, Report on Islamists, the Far Right, and Al-Taqwa, published by Kevin Coogan in September of 2002. We're going to take a look at SECO. We're going to take a look at the relationship between SECO and Shikarki AG. Mohammed Shikarki was is a member of the board of directors of SECO, and some of the work done by Dave White, our heroic European and pan-European foreign translator, set forth the activities of Shikarki AG, and those linked people like Manzar al-Qassar with some of the Grey Wolves and with some of the drug smuggling connected covert operations of the 80s. Turning now to a section of Kevin's paper from called, again, Report on Islamists, the Far Right, and Al-Taqwa, of SECO, Baudin Dunant, Shikarki, and the covert operations of the 80s, and as we'll see, some links running in the direction of Third Reich veterans and so-called neo-Nazis, we read, the French-Swiss Lucien Roulet, R-O-U-I-L-L-E-R, was until 2001 not only an advisor to the DMI and Quatrain, but he was also an advisor to Faisal Finance SA and the Faisal Islamic Bank. At the same time, Rouillet was linked to the Geneva-registered MKS Finance SA, owned by the Shikarkey brothers. Parenthetically, that refers to Shikarkey AG, Mohammed Shikarkey, a member of the board of directors of SECO. Continuing, in the 1980s, Shikarkey Trading sent not just $25 million of CIA money to Afghanistan, but also was involved in drug money for the Turkish mafia. For a time, a member of the family was represented on the advisory board of Russell Wood in London as well. And this complicated and many-branched business was the British branch of the Geneva-registered Saudi Investment Company, or SECO. SECO was founded in May of 1980 as the Swiss Investment Center for the Bin Laden family under the name Signet SA, and later renamed SECO. It belongs to the Swiss-based Yaslam Bin Laden, one of Osama's many half-brothers. Yaslam has been zealous in promoting the idea that the Bin Laden family has nothing to do with Osama. Yet Osama's stepmother in the beginning of 2001 visited Afghanistan for an expensive marriage ceremony of her grandson, which was broadcast over Al Jazeera, and she speaks regularly on the phone to Osama. Another half-brother of Osama's, Sheikh Ahmed, told CNN how much he admires Osama's deep piety, as well as his determination to achieve a goal. And more French and American experts are suspecting financial support from his family that has economic consequences. After 9/11, members of the Carlyle Group, which includes George Bush Sr., asked the Bin Laden Group to withdraw its investments. Also, an investment of at least $20 million by the Bin Laden Group in a sister society of the Deutsche Bank in London was suddenly not welcome. The idea that there remained close ties between Bin Laden and his family was mostly put forth about Yaslam Bin Laden, who has spent the past 20 years in Switzerland. It is the Swiss author Richard Labeyrie, in his 1999 book Dollars for Terror, that challenged the official version that there was a clean break between Osama and the rest of the family in 1994. Labeyrie says that SECO has played a key role in money laundering, but Yaslam Bin Laden refuses to respond to the charges, and said that it would be a great mistake to respond as it would only serve as further advertisement for the book. Yet after 9/11, a French report came out with the same information accusing SECO of ties to Bin Laden. It essentially notes that SECO has so many offshore structures that it can elude financial supervision. 5 months after investigators of the French toll unit TACFIN assembled evidence regarding illicit transactions, the director of the investigation, Renaud Van Rumbeek, discussed suspicious transactions between France, England, and the British Virgin Islands. Almost on the exact day of this announcement, 2 months later, the homes and apartments, as well as Yaslam Bin Laden's company, were searched. Yaslam Bin Laden knows his life is now under the microscope. Why did he fly, for example, 9 times to Milan? Each stop was so short, reports a member of the maintenance team at the private Forlanini Airport, that it couldn't be for shopping. 6 times, Bin Laden came to Milan from his domicile in Cannes, and because of EU regulations, these flights were considered domestic, and no list of passengers was required to be filed. But 3 times, he flew in from Zurich, and the Italian border police have copies of the passenger list. Here, there is a puzzle, as one name is Carlos Rocha, but there is no Carlos Rocha known to investigators. However, there is a Charles Rocha who is on the SECO advisory board. Is this a typo, or is there someone else using a false passport? They can't get an answer from Yaslam Bin Laden, who is silent on this matter. It is equally possible that Bin Laden's silence about Rocha is meant to avoid other problems that might arise, such as why Charles Rocha and Baudin Dunant, 2 members of the SECO advisory board who were attorneys, on May 21, 2001, liquidated the business Tyndall Trust that had first been registered in Villars-sur-Glâne near Fribourg in January of 1986. They fulfilled the same function for a sister society of the Tyndall Trust that shared the same name and that was opened up in 1990 in Geneva and liquidated in January of 2001. One of the top managers of the Tyndall Trust since its founding was the American tax attorney Willard Zucker, who lives in Geneva. Zucker also controls the Lake Geneva-registered Compagnie de Services Fiduciaires, or CSF. And CSF had, along with participation from Tyndall Trust, assumed financial management for a corporate group named Enterprise. Enterprise, however, had nothing to do with a successor company to the 1983-founded successor to the Albert Hakim And U.S. General Richard Secord founded Stanford Technologies Trading Group International, or STTGI, which later changed its name to Enterprise, and administered secret and illegal weapons shipments with Iran and the Contras. The same Willard Zucker who was associated with Baudin Dunant and Charles Rochat arranged payments from the Enterprise account for Oliver North. In 1986, the Syrian Manzer al-Qassar was paid from an Enterprise account for a weapons deal with the Contras. But al-Qassar was not only one of the world's greatest weapons dealers, he also had close ties with Islamic fundamentalist and terrorist groups in the Mideast. Al-Qassar also worked with an international group interested in sending toxic and atomic waste materials by ship to Mozambique. As for Zucker, he has constantly denied that any of his activity on behalf of the Enterprise Group from America infringed on Swiss or U.S. law. What's even more surprising than finding out about the links between Rochat and Dunant with a representative of the Iran-Contra affair like Zucker is finding a connection point between Islamic terrorism and the far right. For it turns out that Baudin Dunant was not only the attorney for François Genoux, the old Swiss Nazi who died in 1996, but his close friend. Again, note the movement here. Note the liquidation of many of these firms in early 2001, as we've looked at in numerous broadcasts, including For the Record Program 356, 456, and most recently 495. In the spring of 2001, SECO opened 16 unregistered accounts with the Deutsche Börse-owned Clearstream network. Bank Altaqua also had access to the Clearstream network, and again, one of the pivotal people in this appears to have been Baudin Dunant, a friend and protege of and attorney for François Genoux. And again, in the description for this show, this will be dealt with at greater length. One last paragraph here. Kevin Coogan concludes his paper. My own belief is that it's less the apparently fantastic and James Bond-like quality of this analysis that's most difficult to understand. The real difficulty is the utter ignorance of most Westerners, Americans in particular, about the very existence of such people as François Genoux. Thus, when Ernst Backes, one of Europe's leading experts in money laundering, told the Luxembourg-based economic journal Plus Minus last year that he believed the financial source of funds for the 9/11 terrorists would ultimately be traced back to Swiss bank accounts established by Genoux, few Americans had any idea what Backes could possibly be talking about. For this same reason, there has been virtually no independent investigation into SECO's Baudin Dunant's relationship to Genoux, or for that matter the role that Syrian-born Mohammed Mardam Bey, believed to be related to a former Syrian foreign minister, has played both as a member of Magnin, Dunant and Associates, as well as Bey's possible links with Genoux. And what does it mean when we're told that Youssef Nata, for example, is believed by Egyptian authorities to have worked for German intelligence in World War II? What it means, folks, is that we got a tangled web, and it appears that SECO is near the center of that web, and that's where the spider hides, so to speak. By the way, there will be supplemental information in the printed description for this show, so if some of this seems a little unclear, it'll be set forth at greater length and in greater detail in the description for this show that'll be on the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. That website features both real audio and MP3 files of the most recently recorded For the Record segments, links to two websites maintained by sister station WFMU that have all the For the Record shows on real audio. The Spitfire website features thousands of pages of documentation, links to a website with the document, the Bush family's involvement with Nazi industry, features the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, in both PDF and HTML, and all kinds of other things as well, so please take advantage of the Spitfire website. There's also a page to click on to support yours truly, but that wraps up For the Record program number 498, Side 2, update on 9/11, the SECO connection. This is being recorded on February 6th of the year 2005. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.